You're listening to Event CEO, a podcast for executives who are looking to maximize their event ROI through business strategy, technology, and innovation.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Event CEO podcast by Linder Global Events. I'm your host, Rebecca Linder. And I have to say, today we had a great conversation with Natalie Evans-Harris. She is a data expert, and she gave us some incredible insights about how we as an industry are using data now and what our responsibility around that and how we can use that data more effectively. And also, I think maybe even more interestingly, how we're going to interface with data as event organizers in the future and this concept of self-sovereignty and what that means for our events and attendees. So make sure you really listen through from start to finish because she reveals these incredible nuggets along the way. I have to say my mind was a bit blown. She has more than 16 years of deploying the strategic use of data to answer some of society's toughest questions and drive organizational success. Her most recent role in government was as a senior policy advisor to the U.S. Chief Technology Officer in the Obama administration. She also led an analytics development center for the National Security Agency. Now she's the founder of Harris Data Consulting and Chief Operating Officer of BrightHive. So, you know, again, she is truly an expert and is getting exposure to not only what's happening in that kind of data collection world now, but also what's happening in the future and how it's being thought about. So listen, enjoy, and give us some feedback. Hey, Natalie, we're so thrilled to have you here today.
Yeah.
And you're welcome. Yeah, we're so excited because data is interesting. So you're an expert in data, and we've just talked about sort of all your awards and your journey in terms of how you got there. But data for the events industry is kind of, there's three things that we're grappling with. One is on the breach side, which as recently as this, you know, that Marriott just had that huge breach, which of course affects our event attendees that have been, you know, booking those spaces for years. The second piece is how to use it effectively. And then the third is really how to collect it. And embedded in that is what's our responsibility from a kind of an ethical perspective. So those are kind of the three buckets. Mm-hmm. Talk to us about, you know, kind of what's going on in that field right now and what from an event organizer perspective we should be thinking about and you know, in knowing and what we need to know.
Sure. So it's interesting, right? If we think about data and data in the events industry, it's very different from if you think about it from a startup in a tech world or like a Facebook world of what it means to do data collection. But at the heart of any of it, when you're thinking about running events and you want to collect data so that you can gather information needed to host better events or make sure that you're learning and achieving certain objectives from those events, you really can break it out into how do I responsibly collect and store that data? And then how do I responsibly use that data to influence and affect my business processes and decisions that I make? And then how do I effectively communicate my uses around that data? So it's three lanes, right? It's how do I get it? How do I use it? And then how do I make sure all parties involved know that it's being used? And then what does it look like from our contracting and relationships and partnership standpoint to understand that what role data plays in the whole business process? So one of the things I'll often say is that if you really want to think about what data means in your world, you have to take it out of the lens of technology and put it into the lens of business processes.
Okay.
So you really have to think about, okay, what data do I need to collect? Why am I collecting it? And who in my corporation and in my organization is responsible for stewarding that data from collection all the way through to actionalizing it? That's why chief data officer roles have become so critical and important. Because when you really start to think about, okay, I need to collect information, demographic information about people. I need to collect location information, corporate sector information about people. And then I need to be able to store it in a way that's protecting the data and is that securing the data and protecting people's privacy. That's a really important distinction, right?
Mm-hmm.
So with breaches, what often happens is we're securing the data based upon what we were told at that moment, but malicious behavior happens faster than knowing that you've hit that mark at that one time. So what processes do you have in place to make sure that it's an iterative cycle, that you're constantly looking at how to protect and secure that data, looking at who has access to that data and where you're putting that data, and then start to look at, how are you protecting people's privacy? So who are you allowing in your contracts to therefore have access to that data? And what kind of decisions are you making? Do you have an ethics policy in place? One of the organizations I've talked to, a state government, their county, Broward County in particular, talks about when it comes to equity and when it comes to making sure that what they're doing always has ethics and equity at the forefront, because they're dealing with administrative data, people's personal information, and then determining social services based upon that. They have equity statements in their contracts to remember that their goals and purpose beyond just hosting an event is about people.
Right.
And what do you want to get out of those people? So if you keep people in mind the whole time, then the conversation around how do I collect and protect is about how do I collect and protect the people that are trusting me, less about what databases and servers and encryption and all that stuff, because all that comes, But you need to know the people and what the expectation of the people are. And then there's this accountability thing, right? So what we're seeing in the transformation and the evolution of technology is that you don't have to own everything in order to make decisions. You can keep the data in the hands of the individual and still get what you need in order to make decisions. The first step is understanding what you need.
Well, let's ask a tactical question. So let's say a third-party organization been hired by a corporation to plan an event for them. Let's say, for the sake of this, it's an event it's a conference, and they're bringing their membership or actually an external audience to around a subject. And we're going to use, as an event company, a third-party platform like Eventbrite or some kind of collection system. What does that third party company, and or this could happen within a corporation, they'll use a third party platform, Cvent, any of these. What should we be thinking about or asking them as we use these platforms? And then to springboard off what you were just saying, and what, how do we limit the questions to limit the exposure on the data side, but still get what we need?
Sure. So what you want to start to see is more thought around what data is being collected and how long that data is sitting there, right? So if you've contracted with Eventbrite and you say, Eventbrite, I need to collect information on RSVPs, on people that want to attend these events. So it's pretty standard, the information that Eventbrite collects. But what isn't known to me and what I don't know about what looks like in the contracts is, are you telling Eventbrite how long they can keep that data? Do they have practices and policies in place that say they delete the data that they've collected based upon your event after a certain amount of time? Because once it's gone, you've minimized the risk.
Right.
The problems that we run into is that data is collected and nobody thinks about what happens to that data once it becomes old and obsolete. My colleague with BrightHive, he's CEO, I'm COO of the company, he often uses the statement around data is misused. But also when data is missed in its use, that's unethical. So if you've got data just sitting there and not being touched and not being used, that's just as unethical as using people's information for nefarious purposes.
Fascinating. So how do you get rid of data? So you've collected all this information, this third party platform. What does getting rid of data mean? Because the way we talk about now, it's like it's there forever and can come back.
Yeah, it's all in the cloud.
Yeah.
So it's all in the cloud, and the cloud doesn't
eliminate
anything.
Is it just delete?
Well, you ask Eventbrite what they want to do. So as an event planner, it's a conversation with every organization does it a little differently.
Okay.
For some, it is about purging it off of your live system and moving it over, archiving it over to some offsite storage thing.
Okay.
But what you want and what you're responsible for as an event planner is understanding what's happening with the data at the end.
Okay.
So if you know that it's sitting in Eventbrite's operational environment today, and your event is done, it should be moved or archived 6 months later or 2 months later immediately. And that can be Eventbrite should have a process in place for what they do for that. It could be delete. I know it's not.
Right.
It could also be a wipe of a table for that event, because that's what Eventbrite is, right? It's a series of tables.
Right.
So it's wiping that table.
Okay.
It's encrypting it someplace else with a high level of encryption to make it difficult for somebody to access.
So the real message here is make sure we're having the thorough conversation, not just about the collection, but also the disposal of information when housing information, any external platform, because there's millions out there that we use as planners from the seeding platforms. We're taking the data we've collected on registration and then we're moving it into the seeding platform. We might be using it for an online app. app. So there's many, many iterations that we kind of take it along. So it's about then the question around the disposal of that information for all those various platforms.
Yeah. And that's one aspect, right? Okay. The other is understanding what data you're collecting and why. So if you know that you're collecting people, if you know, I mean, when I sign up for events, I got to give an email address. Sometimes I have to give a physical address. I never know why I have to give a physical address for an event that's local to me or that I'm going to. What do you need it for? So it should be clear when you have people give their information, how does it tie to a business objective for you? How does it tie to the event planning for you? And really examine, do you actually need that data in that way? Because part of the problem is that as organizations, we just want to get all of the information that we can. And if we don't use it, it's no big deal. But we just might need it.
Right.
Well, in the world that we live in today, it is a big deal.
Okay.
Because when you collect it and you don't need it, that puts it at risk. And so what we're learning in the data world and in the ethics world and in this world where your data is being used for so many different things is how do you control access to your information? So there's this whole concept of self-sovereignty where you're seeing this movement towards people getting issued tickets in technology. So instead of me having to type in my social security number and my address and all my things every time I want to share information through blockchain and some other technologies, I can just almost offer a ticket.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I don't want you to have access to it anymore, I can take that ticket away.
Fascinating.
So now you don't actually own, you don't get a copy of my data. You get access to the data that I can take away when I realize, oh, you know what? I did that event. It's over. You don't need that information anymore.
And you can take it back.
And I can take it back.
Is that something that's happening?
It's something, yeah, that's where the world is going. It's a self-sovereignty concept. I mean, you're starting to see it now. I think Gmail has started to pull this. I know, right? Cool. And I love it. And I'm excited about it because I think that's the future. The future is me not having to fill out forms. The future is me being able to say, I'm okay with you having my information for this very specific purpose. And then after a week, it goes away. Gmail has started to do this with your Gmail accounts. I don't know if people realize they did a big publicity thing about it when they redid people's Gmail. Now, if you send somebody information, you can encrypt it. And you can also put a time limit on it so that the email goes away after you've shared it after a certain amount of time.
Fascinating.
That's the future. And that's what I'd love to start to see more event organizations, more organizations who need people's information start to do.
Wow. So in it, okay. So that's, I mean, it sounds like a very near future, but in the meantime, what I'm also hearing is be thoughtful and intentional about what you need and why you need it and be transparent about that to the attendee as you're asking for that information.
Yeah. Data should always be tied to a question.
Okay.
You're collecting the data to answer a specific question or a specific need.
Okay.
It should be clear to everybody what that is at all times.
Okay. So fascinating. So now let's talk about in the on-site environment. So the analytics, this it's a big conversation that's happening. And the way it's being used in some ways, you know, well, and in some ways not well. But, you know, one of the, and you're seeing this now at a lot of hotels even, where you can react to circumstances that are taking place at the event. Mm-hmm. So let's say we're at a conference in a big hotel and a lot of people are starting to say it's cold, whether it's via social media or anything like that, you know, adjustments are being made or tracking the flow of where people are going and doing this. Again, the technology, there's some expense related to some of this in some instances, but what are ways that we could be using this that really is kind of maybe more effective or more thoughtful about how we would change the dynamic of what we learned to use in the future? Because we talk about it a lot, but I'm not sure it's being actually used effectively.
Ooh, that's an interesting question. I'll give a couple thoughts.
Okay.
So some of the more interesting things I've started to see at events when it comes to data analysis, I specifically remember going to an event earlier this year where at the end, I was doing a panel, and at the end of the panel, there was somebody standing at the door where people who had these RFIDs, they could take their RFID, scan it, and then rate the event, rate the session right then and there. And it was just a red, green button.
Okay.
And then based upon that RFID, they got follow-on questions later
for
why they selected that. So getting information around how people are perceiving the information that's being presented to them. Was it informative? Was it helpful? Things like that. So they're asked very specific
questions. Almost in that post-evaluation, post-survey environment.
Exactly.
Okay.
But they're doing it in real time.
Okay.
Because they're doing it like right after the event, right when it's still fresh in their head. Did you love it? Did you hate it? Was it helpful? Was it not? That the movement tracking, I always find interesting because there's ways to be able to see where people go, what people are drawn to, who people are drawn to at events without it being creepy. And so that's the balance,
right?
So it's tracking people's movements without feeling big brotherish around the tracking. And I think there's ways to do it. I've seen, interestingly enough, people do it through concession stands. So usually at events, you get coffee and tea and snacks and stuff in certain places in the facility. So based upon where people are eating and drinking the most can tell you where people are and how they're moving through. And you can do that without having to get the information directly from the participants. You can get that from the vendor that is doing that is providing the food. I found those types of things.
And we're seeing that in the exhibit space too, where you're seeing like who's tracking to what exhibits, and they're doing it through the thermal tracking, the geofencing, and through opt-ins as well. What's the responsibility of the organizer? I mean, can we do all of that without letting the attendee know? Or do they have to opt into that? Or do we have to have the big signs that say, you know, by entering this, you are being...
I believe in opt-in for everything.
Okay.
I think that people should know that they're a part of an experiment at all times. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that, right? People just need to know. I see those signs and it doesn't make me go, oh no, I don't want to do it. But if I saw that information about me was being used for something and I didn't consent to it, now I've got a problem.
Okay.
And that consent can really just be when you sign up, please know that to better serve you, we're going to be watching this about the movements of all the attendees.
And should be people intentional, like you check a box, though, that there should be some action that you take, or is it just the reading is fine, in your opinion?
If you have the mechanism for people to opt out, then allow for people to opt in, opt out.
Okay.
But to me, if you at least just let people know, they'll either sign up or they won't.
Okay.
And that's their version of opting in.
Okay.
I've also been to events where they have the big sign that says, this session here is going to be televised or is going to be recorded. So sit over here if you don't want to be a part of that.
Oh, that's interesting too, where they sectioned off
the space.
Not to eliminate anyone from participating, but just saying there are areas that are designated that you will be on film or your face will be captured in some way or used for social media.
Yeah, or I've seen one event that I thought was really creative where if you were okay with being recorded, you go into this room. But if you weren't, you could go into this room over here and watch it on live stream. So you weren't even at risk of being in the space when this recording was happening, but you still got to experience it with other people because it's a whole other room of people that were just not interested in being recorded for any number of reasons.
Yes. And what are some of the reasons why people, I mean, what are the concerns? I mean, you look at social media and people are putting all their stuff out in the world and, you know, it's happening at events, it's happening personally, professionally. I mean, for those holdouts, is it the sovereignty piece that is going to solve that problem for them? What's, you know, what do you see in that space?
I think there's a multitude of, I come from the IC world and for some people.
Tell me what the IC world is.
I'm sorry, the intelligence community.
Okay.
So I worked at National Security Agency for 15 years,
right?
Yes.
Okay.
And so... For some that work in that intelligence community world, you can't be recorded because that affects your livelihood, your career. So there's those type of reasons. But then there's also just a trust thing. Like, it's one thing for me to put information out there about myself. And it's one thing for me to have my Facebook persona and my Twitter persona and all these other things. It's a whole nother for you to record me and then put it out there the way that you desire. So it's that trust thing. It's that lack of control piece that I think is what drives many people's discussions and decisions around what they will participate in and what they won't. It's really about trusting the messenger.
And as a way to sort of wrap this up, how does a corporation or an event entity establish and build trust with an audience?
I'm a big fan of, and it's almost an overused term at this point, transparency. But I believe that what you're going to see in the future are the companies that do this right, are the companies that put out, as a part of their business processes, cultural norms and business norms around responsible use of data. And not just saying, you know, a manifesto of, you know, we will do no harm and we will respect all people's rights and privacies, but it actually is reflected in the way that they communicate about their business and the way that they conduct their business. So a lot of what you'll see with the challenges with companies like Facebook is that they'll put out there that they're doing everything that they can to protect people's privacy, but then their business actions don't align with those words. And people are paying attention to that now. And so what you want to start to see, and what I think will, and what I hope we'll start to see, are companies that put ethics at the front of not just their policies and not just their culture, but also their practices, and recognize that it's something that's a part of everybody's job to protect data and to protect people if you're dealing with people, which most in the event industry are.
Yes, 100%. Natalie, I cannot thank you enough. I consider this to be one of the kind of most important issues that we're grappling with as an industry, and that I think we'll have to continue to also innovate around.
Yes.
So just so grateful to you for giving us your knowledge and expertise around the subject. So thank you so much.
Thank you. This was fun.
All right. We're going to get you back. I'm sure there's lots of other topics as this evolves. So yes. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I hope everyone enjoyed that episode with Natalie Evans-Harris about data and how it's being collected and used in our events environment now, and really what the future of data looks like for us in the events world. If you have any more questions for Natalie or me on this subject or something related that you want answered in an upcoming session, please email us at rebecca@eventceo.com. And of course, as always, follow us on social media. All of the links are on our websites at eventceo.com and linderglobal.com. Continue to tell your friends and colleagues about us. Subscribe and follow us on social media for updates and news on the latest episode releases. And lastly, thanks for listening. As always, I appreciate it and I commend you for furthering your education and knowledge of our very, very interesting industry. And until next time, make your days great.